that last chorus song. You guys like that last chorus song? It's pretty good, huh? He's moved a mountain before, and he's going to do it again. There was no way, but he'll make a way. Because he said, I am the way. Amen. If you believe. Amen. Praise the Lord. You guys ready to get into the word tonight? Yep, I'm going to sit and stand tonight. You know, not like that little toy was that sit and spin. I'm doing commercials because there's going to be two commercials we're going to do tonight, which are kind of fun. They're kind of biblical commercials. You like commercials on TV, you see them, radio, whatever, you know, okay. Some of them are pretty good. Some of them are really dumb, you know. Some are just really, forget it, you know. But praise the Lord, it's good to be here, and I'm so glad that you are here. So turn to the person next to you and tell them, I'm glad you're here. Okay? And then ask them the question, are you glad I'm here? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Yeah. Amen. You throwing pins? Oh, no. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, better than tomatoes or lettuce. Hallelujah. Am I too bassy or am I okay? Can you hear me okay? Everything good? All right. Well, praise the Lord. What we're going to do tonight, we're going to pick up where we have left off before. We're going to continue with the anointing series. Everybody say anointing. Okay. And I want everybody to repeat after me. Say, I am anointed of God. Do you believe that? Okay, you have to believe that to operate and walk in the anointing. If you don't believe it, it's not just going to fall on you. And forgive me if you see some of the little marks on my hands here. I'm not fooling around with henna and stuff like that, you know. We have, those of you who come to the Bible study, you know that we have a puppy, Otis, and he just sometimes gets a little bit rambunctious, you know, and he just, you know, sometimes he gets all... He's a good dog. Hallelujah. Yeah, he gets a little wild sometimes. But glory to God. We're missing a few people tonight. That's okay. They said before that they weren't going to be here because they're on vacation or anniversary or doing something like that, which is good. But to start off tonight, we're going to play the first one here. I want you to listen to this. It's a commercial. Okay? Check this out.
Having trouble planning that next vacation? Famous world sights getting humdrum? Are you tired of hotels, coffee shops, and cranky stewardesses? Then why not take the eternal vacation? That's right, Rapture Airlines. You don't even have to go to the airport. No, Rapture Airlines is taking off right from where you stand. And your flight? Oh boy. Plenty of leg space, music by the Archangel, and complimentary glasses of living water. And that's just the start. When you arrive at your destination, no waiting in a crummy hotel lobby, the owner himself will be there to greet you with the keys to your own private mansion. It's so beautiful, you'll think you're in heaven. Well, you are. So don't put it off. Get your name written into the book today. We could take off at any time. Don't get caught up in the world. Get caught up in Rapture Airlines. Truly the only way to fly.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tony and I were just talking, we're just sharing that time is short. We have to get our loved ones, their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have to do that. There's, you know, we are responsible for them. Did you know that? Scripture says we are responsible. So we need to do all we can and then let the Lord do the rest. Okay? Does that make sense? Do all we can and let the Lord do the rest. And then their names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because time is short, and because the Lord is returning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It is an eternal vacation, too, by the way, Jose. It's an eternal vacation. Like that, Earl? An eternal vacation. Yeah. Yeah. Not something we can just plan for a week or two. Nope. This is eternity. Glory to God. Let's get into some affirmations. Everybody know what affirmations are, right? Okay, repeat after me. I am born of God. And I have world overcoming faith residing in me. That's found in 1 John 5:4-5. 1 John 5:4-5. Let's do another one. I overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Those are good affirmations. Okay? Let's do another one. And this is found in 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We all know that one. That's an affirmation. We should say these as much as we can. Let's do one more. Philippians 4:13. I will do all things through your anointing, Lord, which strengthens me. See how I turned that just a little bit? Okay? But that's according to the Hebrew right there. Not I just can do, because we can all do certain things. But the question is, will you? Something to think about. Will you do all things through the anointing that the Lord gives us? Okay? That's the question of the night. Will you do that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's put up our keynote scriptures, the first one, before we put up the title of today's message. And it's found in Isaiah 10:27. Isaiah 10:27, and this is in the New King James. This is our keynote scripture, and it says, it shall come to pass in that day that his or her burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing or the anointing oil. Okay? That scripture should almost be memorized by now. Okay? Because that is our main keynote scripture for teaching and talking about the anointing, which we're getting into, because the direction that the Lord has shared with Pastor, or all of us pastors, is that the anointing is going to get real strong in our congregation. Sunday mornings, okay, Thursdays, at our Bible studies, and then we will be having revivals, plural, not just a revival, revivals, plural. And these revivals are not just going to run for a day or two or for a week. They could run for years. How long did the Azusa Street revival run for? Okay? Almost 9 years. People came from all over the world, okay? Because they heard about it. They wanted to be in the presence of God. They wanted to know and experience what God was doing. People would walk into that building filled with cancer or scabs or goiters or whatever, skin ailments, on crutches, wheelchairs. It didn't matter. They would walk in there and receive their healings. Salvations would just flow, okay? Just like water in a river. It would flow. And there is a testimony by a janitor who was working in the building at the Azusa Street Revivals, and they would pick up at the end of every day, even though the revival was going, they would mop and sweep up a trash can full of diseases and scabs that would fall off of people when they would come in the presence of God. You think, oh, that's gross for you to say such a thing. No, God wants people healed. He wants people delivered. He wants people free, you know. And once we're in that presence, things happen. Things happen. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next verse. Glory to God. Matthew 10, 1. Okay, New King James says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power. Everybody say power. Power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal. Everybody say heal. Heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Raise your hand if you're a disciple of the Lord. I'm a disciple. Okay? According to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, he gives the disciples power to do that. It's not in ourselves, it's in him. It is in him. It has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with us per se. It's just us receiving what he said, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. There was a pastor who was preaching, and while he was preaching, I won't mention his name, but while he was preaching, the Lord gave him a vision of a post office. Okay? And he did not catch this. He's at the pulpit and he's having an open vision. He sees a post office. And the Lord took him through the post office and into the back room. And in the back room, he could not count thousands and thousands of gift wrap packages in the back of the post office. Okay? And then before he could say anything, the vision was over. And he gets on his knees right at the podium. And the congregation is just wondering what's going on. And he's weeping to the Lord. And he asked the Lord, what was that all about? What are those packages, those gift wrap boxes and everything in the back of the post office? And the Lord just said, those are gifts that I have given to my children that they did not receive. And he wept even more. And he shared that. See, God is a giver. He's a good giver. He's a good God. Okay? And when we take time to just get in his presence and receive the gift of life, the gift of salvation, the gift of healing, the gift of deliverance, the gift of the power that God wants us to share with others. That's a gift that we receive from that post office and open it up. Yeah. And he wants us to use that gift. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 20. That's what we're going to read. Okay, this is really cool. Before we pray, I want to share this. Then the 70 returned with joy. In the Hebrew, it actually says, then the 70 returned again. So in other words, they came once, twice, three times, or four, but again. So at least it's twice. They returned again with joy to the Lord, saying, even the what? Demons are subject to who? Us. Oh my gosh, catch this. Subject to us, okay? In your name. Not in our name. Oh, who cares? The devil doesn't care about Larry, okay? He cares about the Jesus in Larry, okay? And he said to them, now this is good. I mean, if you've been attended our Bible studies on Wednesday, you'll find out what Jesus is talking about here. He said, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. When did he see that? Question of the night. We're not going to answer it right now. Jesus said, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. Behold, he says, I give you I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all, everybody say all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because what? Your names are written in heaven. You received the invitation, you got on Rapture Airlines, and now, hey, time to rejoice because your name is written in heaven. It's a good time to rejoice. It's a good time. You see, because the disciples, 70 of them anyway, came back rejoicing. They were filled with joy because the demons were subject to them, right? And then he said, don't worry, man. I saw the devil like a bolt of lightning shoot right out of heaven. And then he says, guess who kicked him out? This is what he's implying. Okay? He says, I kicked him out of heaven, not just out of a body or out of a person in earth. I kicked him out of heaven. And you guys, your name is written in heaven, so you need to rejoice at that. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Glory to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It's life and in health to our flesh. We thank you for what you've shared to me to share with your people. And I'm asking, Father, that your word will penetrate our hearts and it would be planted deep in our hearts so that we may bring it up in a time of need. If at any time we need a fresh dose of the Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, Father, that we will remember to stir up the gift that's in us. Stir it up in the name of Jesus so that your word can move mightily in our midst and wherever we go. We honor you and thank you, Father, for this service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and put up the title of tonight's message, just the title. You see that? The title of the message is, How Do You Spell Relief? Those of us who are older than 20, I'll say. You remember those old commercials? It was on TV and on the radio. How do you spell relief? Okay, and then a person would go like this, and then they pull out a Rolaids. Remember? They pull out Rolaids, and they start eating it, and go, that's how I spell relief. And you get these hands, you can't see the person anymore. You get these hands, you know, and they're holding it just like that, perfect in the hands, Rolaids, you know. Remember those commercials, you know? Okay. But the question really goes to us today. How do you spell relief? Okay. How do you spell relief? We're going to look at a couple stories in the Old Covenant and in the New. And Jesus, okay, God the Father, in Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, God himself, Yahweh Elohim, was actually giving the people of Israel and his people that question. How are you going to spell relief in this situation you're going through? And we're going to find out some of their answers, and then we're going to put it to ourselves and say, how would I answer that? Or how am I going to answer what I'm going through right now? Because we all need relief of some things, amen? Not true? Yeah. I mean, if it's 100 degrees outside and you're wearing 4 sweaters, how do you spell relief? Most people say air conditioning. Okay, take off one at a time. Then air conditioning. You know, this is how it works, okay? There's a question, and then we have to give a response, okay? In baseball has... In Major League Baseball, they have what's called an award, okay? And it's for the best reliever, and it's called the Rolaids Award. It's for a relief pitcher. In baseball, they use a relief pitcher. When I was growing up, and I would, you know, watch, go to some of the games and watch a lot of the major leaguers on TV, and I just couldn't figure at the time, I'm just going, what makes a relief pitcher that separates him from a starter? Somebody who could pitch maybe the whole game, okay? Or somebody who just pitches one or two innings, okay? And I'm thinking, I'm going, okay, they're relievers. They're out to relieve that starter who ran out of gas, who's tired, who got hurt or something, okay? So Major League Baseball came up with it's called the Rolaids Award, which is for the best relievers for the year. And I'm going, well, how did they get that award? And they would rate their ERA. Everybody knows what an ERA is? In baseball, it's called an earned run average. How many runs they're allowed that they allow the other team to earn off of them. Okay? And then growing up, I'm just going, I'm looking at all the relievers, and every one of them was big. I mean, we're talking big, like Goose Gossage and a lot of these guys. They're big guys. They're like 6'8", 6'6", you know. They're big. You know, I'm 6'2", 6'2 and a half, something like that. And before I lost all my weight, it was 230 pounds. But these guys are, you know, 6'6", 280, 290 pounds. And they throw that little ball 97 miles an hour, just poof, poof, just like that. Okay, and I'm just looking at him, just going, ERA, what, do they really, ERA stands for eats really a lot? That's why they're so big, so they can be a reliever? Because I could, yeah, ERA eats really a lot instead of earned run average. You'll catch that in a minute. But, and I got, you know, some of the Dodgers, they were like that too, you know, but I'm just going, oh man, okay, well, that's a reliever, somebody who will actually take up the slack for somebody who's exhausted, who's tired, who's burned out, somebody who can't go any further. And if they do go further, the other team does what? Takes advantage. Rip the daylights out of them, right? Okay. And in the case of spiritually speaking, the devil will kill you. He will kill you. And this is what his job is. John 10:10 says what? The thief doesn't come at all unless to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Time for a reliever. You catch what I'm saying now? It's time for a reliever to come in because, you know, hey, we need it. Every one of us need it at times. We do. We need a reliever. So, go ahead. Yeah. Next one. Mm-hmm. Check this out real quick, and it'll tie into what we're going to be going on from here.
How do you spell relief?
I spell relief P-R-A-Y-E-R.
How do I spell relief? I spell it P-R-A-Y-E-R.
I spell relief P-R-E-Y-E-R.
That's right. Prayer for fast relief. Are the pressures of this old world getting to you? No matter how hard you try, you just can't find any peace? Well, why put up with worries, doubts, fears when relief is just a prayer away? Cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Allow the peace that passes all understanding to keep your heart and your mind. That's right, your mind also. So don't just say so long to that nervous stomach, but bye-bye to those migraines. Prayer. It's not new. It's always been there. Just ask for it. In Jesus' name.
How do I spell relief? Well, I used to spell it impossible, but now I spell it P-R-A-Y-E-R.
A little wider, Mr. Stein.
Prayer in spirit and in truth.
Amen. Okay, prayer in spirit and in truth. That's how we need to, in the New Testament, spell relief. Spell relief. And we can take it a little bit further as we go, but that was just a Christian commercial or spiritual commercial about prayer. Let's go in our Bibles to Deuteronomy I'm going to go and jump in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 31, and we're going to look at verses 14 through 18. As a matter of fact, we'll be in Deuteronomy 31 all the way through verse 23. But we're going to start off with verse 14, okay? If anybody knows what's really happening in Deuteronomy chapter 31, while you turn to it in your Bibles, and it's going to be up on the screen. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, God commands Moses and Joshua to come into his presence. Okay? God, now I'm just going to paint a picture for you, because we're not going to read everything. We're just going to go through it, and I want you to catch the highlights and then dive into it on your own. God's asking Moses and Joshua to come before him in his anointing, because God is going to tell Moses that, number one, he's going to die, and that, number two, he needs to appoint a successor. This is how Deuteronomy 31 starts out, okay? And let's jump to verse 14. Are we there? Okay, and the Lord said to Moses, I'll go over this way. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, the days approach when you must what? When you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of meeting, that I may inaugurate or call him or anoint him. So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of meeting, or in the tent, or in just the tabernacle. Okay? You got, that's verse 15, right? Okay, let's go to verse 16. Oh, yeah, well, that was 14. I'm sorry. Go back to 15. I'm sorry. Sorry. My fault. Now the Lord appeared at the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood above the door of the tabernacle. But you know what the pillar of cloud is? It's the Shekinah glory. It's the anointing of God. Okay? I have been in that presence before, and I have seen it. I don't know exactly what I did to be able to be in a place like that, but everybody who was there and the ministers and all of us who were praying were believing God for that anointing and that Shekinah glory to come in. That Shekinah glory was so thick and so strong in the Azusa Street revival, and I've talked about it before, that the younger children would play hide-and-go-seek in the cloud, in the fog. They couldn't see, so they would play hide-and-seek in there. But those children all lived to be real close to 100 years old. I have a book, it's called They Told Me Their Stories, and you read it, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, they tell you exactly what they did. But they were in that presence of the Lord for almost 9 years, every day. Think about it, okay? Here we go. And Moses and Joshua were there, and God appeared to them in that cloud, okay? And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you will rest or sleep with your fathers, and this people will rise and what? Play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land where they go to be among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Before I read on, when we get into the presence of the Lord, into the anointing, and the Lord wants to share things with us, he is going to say some things that we may not want to hear. Moses and Joshua, they're in the presence right there. God tells them, okay, you're going to sleep with your fathers, you're going to die. Okay, I'm telling you this right now. And all the people that you have brought to the other side that Joshua is going to bring, you're going to die. You're going to stay here, but they're going to follow false gods. They're not going to obey me. They're going to break my covenant. Now, we already know that Moses interceded for the people of God before. I don't find anywhere where he intercedes for them here. Let's go on. Then my anger, the Lord says, shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them. Oh my God. Doesn't the Bible say the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us? That's the New Testament, yeah. But back then, they broke the covenant. And God's in the presence, I mean, he's there telling Moses and Joshua, I will forsake them. That's what some of the minor prophets are about. I get people asking me questions a lot about, what's the deal with the minor prophets and stuff in the scriptures? Some of them just don't make sense. One or two verses make sense, but the other ones don't. It's basically a story, all of them, where the Lord is saying, my people were unfaithful, and this is how I left them. I divorced them. I forsook them. That's what the minor prophets are about. I mean, he even had one minor prophet marry a prostitute as an example. Remember that? Okay? He married a prostitute, and she would go out in the evenings and come back, and he's torn apart. And the Lord just said, tell my people that's how I feel. He says here, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be what? Devoured. And, if that's not enough, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they have done, in that they have turned to other gods. In the Hebrew, it also uses people, I mean, most of us have read somewhere, it says high places, tearing down the high places, or they would build the high places. Has anybody ever, done a study on that? The high places in the Hebrew actually means bama bayit, which actually means it's an elevated building or an elevated house to worship. They made another church that they worshiped their gods in, the false gods. Leviticus 26:30 and 2 Chronicles 33:3. I didn't give that, but I just want to share those with you. Leviticus 26:30 and 2 Chronicles 33:3 talks about the high places themselves, okay? But what I wanted to share with you in here is that the people, when God turns his back on the people, they're going to say, the reason why all these evils are upon us is because God turned his back. Is that true? It's not true. No. They turned on him. They turned on him. Okay? So basically, they're saying, okay, Moses, when Moses goes and shares with them this exact thing that the Lord told them, they said, okay, Moses, how do we spell relief? How do we spell relief? Because we know you just said that God's going to forsake us because of the evil. And what is the Hebrew word for evil? Those of you who know, evil. Dysfunction. Everything they did was dysfunctional. Dysfunctional. Good is functional. Evil, dysfunctional. God says, no dysfunction. It's not going to happen. You're not going to do it. So they said, okay, how do we spell relief? And relief, it's in verse 19. Here we go. And it says here, verse 19. Now therefore, write down this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. How many of you know that Deuteronomy chapter 32, all the way through verse 43, Deuteronomy 32 to 43 is a song. That's the song that God gave to Moses to teach the children of Israel. It's Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 through 43. That is a song. And God told, he meant business, everybody. He meant business. He said, teach the children. Teach everybody. Keep it in their mouth so that it'll be a witness to them. So they won't blame me for anything. Because I'm not to blame. I'm not to blame. How many of you know that God's not to blame? Okay? And we hear it on the news, we hear it certain places, and they even in insurance companies, if a hurricane or a tornado, they say it's an act of God? Really? 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 No. No. That's not according to what my Bible says. Let's go to verse 20. When I have brought them to the land flowing with milk and honey, of which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat, then they will turn to what? Other gods and serve them. And they will provoke me and break my covenant. Next verse. Then it shall be when many evils or dysfunctions and troubles have come upon them that this song will testify against them as a witness, for it will not be forgotten in the mouths of their descendants. For I know the inclination of their behavior today, even before I have brought them to the land of which I swore to give them. Therefore, Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. Then he inaugurated or anointed Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land of which I swore to them, and I will be with you. They still went through with it. They still went through with what God said to do, but God told them the game plan ahead of time. He doesn't leave us comfortless. He reads our mail. And he allows us to read his when we're in his presence. The Lord says that he'll share with us his secrets in the secret place of the Most High. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. When the anointing comes, when that anointing comes in our sanctuary, in your prayer closet, in your home, wherever, don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed when the Lord shares something with you about yourself, about the future, about something that's going to take place. Don't be alarmed. It's prophetic. He knows the beginning from the end. Okay? He's telling us that because he wants to be our relief. He's our relief pitcher. He's our reliever. Because we are supposed to be a believer, so he's our reliever. That's not just a play on words. It's the truth. So when we're in prayer, we get our relief. Okay? There was going to be a series that the Lord wants me to teach when I was going through this and going through it. And it's called Relief from Unbelief. Okay. I didn't know I was not believing. We do. There are times we just don't believe. We guess. Yeah. Or we mentally assent something. We don't actually believe it. I've heard it said before about believing in faith in such a way where there's one gentleman, he was getting a lot of people around by Niagara Falls, and he said, you know, I'm going to cross Niagara Falls on a unicycle on this rope. How many of you believe I can do it? And he was getting them all pumped up, and a lot of them were going, clapping, saying, yeah, I believe like you could do it. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to blindfold myself. Do you still believe I could do it? And a lot of them go, yeah, I believe you could do it. You could cross that on a unicycle and on the rope, blindfolded. Yeah, I believe that. And he said, if you really believe it, you'll be on my shoulders. And they all left. That's somebody who mentally assents, yeah, I believe you could do it. But if you really did believe it, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. Praise you, Lord. We're almost got a little bit more time. We're going to keep going here, okay? Are you catching this so far, what took place and what happened? After he received the vision, he got the song. When they're in the presence of the Lord, I should say, he received the song. In chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, basically the whole chapter is the song that he taught to the children of Israel, yet knowing that this song is going to be a witness to them, that every time that they fall and worship a false god, that song is going to be blaring in their ears. It's going to be in their hearts. It's going to come out of their mouth, but they're still worshiping false gods. The Lord's just saying, don't you dare blame me. Don't you dare blame me. You got the song in your heart. You got it right there. Moses taught it to you. And then chapter 33, Moses goes on and he blesses the 13 tribes of Israel. They say, oh, I thought it was 12. That's 13. But we'll keep going. Let's go to Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. And we'll wrap this up here. Joshua chapter 24. And we're going to start off with verse 19. See, the way God works is him and Joshua, they received the word of the Lord in his presence. That's where we receive the word of the Lord, when we're in his presence. Amen? And then the Lord tells them what's going to occur. And then they're asking for relief. And the Lord gives them relief in a song. And then Moses blesses the tribes. Okay? Now we're going to move ahead in time. And we're going to go to Joshua chapter 24, starting with verse 19. Joshua 24, verse 19. It says, but Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. How did Joshua know that? We read it before, right? In Deuteronomy, when him and Moses were in the presence of the Lord, he said, my people, they're gone. They're out of here. They're going to worship false gods, and I will forsake them. And Joshua tells them, okay, in verse 19, okay, you can't. You can't worship him. He didn't even want to go into details. Okay? Let's go to verse 20. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and you... and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. Verse 21. And the people said to Joshua, no, where's my reliever? Call to the bullpen. But we will serve the Lord. Catch the picture. Joshua points at him and says, you can't serve the Lord. Tells them all these things. And they say, no, we'll serve the Lord. I could just see them with smiles on their face, some of them crying. Just some are serious, some aren't. He says, yeah, we'll serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. What was the witness that Moses gave? It was a song, right? He gave a song. He said, they're a witness to themselves. And then they said, we are witnesses. Yeah, we witness that we're going to serve the Lord. I hear my neighbor say it, just like in church. You know, greet somebody, tell them they're blessed and all this. They were doing that. Okay? Next verse. Now, therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Who said that? The people. On the same page? The people said that. Okay? Now I'm going to say this. We all have to be careful what we say. Next verse. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statue. The Hebrew says a rock. He grabbed a rock. Okay, but this is a statue. That's fine. Most of them are made of granite or rocks. Okay. And an ordinance in Shechem. Okay. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. He took a stone. Okay, there was a statue. They took a stone, an actual stone, and set it under an oak tree. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a what? A witness to us. For it has what? It has what? It has what? It has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It, the stone, shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. Hey, Josh, did you know that that chair you're sitting on hears you when you talk? This hat that I'm wearing, it hears me. I don't see the ears on it, but it hears me. Been reading a book about quantum physics, but in the spirit, and it's there. It's there. Quantum physics is even in the Old Covenant and the New, and Jesus actually preached on it. That's a lot deeper as we go. But everything in this building, in this room, in your house, in your car, wherever you go, hears you. The more you say to the car, you stupid car, you're so dumb, I hate you, you never start. That car's not going to start. It's going to obey you. You can have what you say. Another person says, I hate my job. Yeah, your job hates you too. This is what God is trying to get us to understand. It happened in the Old Testament here. Joshua said, that stone hears you. It hears the Lord speak too. And it's a witness. If your washing machine is acting up, talk nice to it. Tell it that it is blessed of the Lord and that it will work properly and function for many years. It'll obey you because that washing machine has ears. Ah, you're full of baloney, Larry. No, I'm not. And we have to watch what we say all the time. I do. Sometimes something comes out of my mouth, I'm going, did I just say that? Or repent of that. Dig up those seeds right away. Yeah, yeah. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Jesus says, you can have what you say, but we've been saying what we have. Jesus said, you can have what you say, but we've been saying what we have. Let that sink in for just a little bit. Hallelujah. The people were crying for relief. Joshua gave them relief, and he said, this stone is going to be a witness for your remembrance. It hears you. Your reliever is your mouth. Start talking some good things. You said you're going to serve the Lord, then serve the Lord. You said you're going to serve, then serve. Don't say you're going to serve and then just decide to go on vacation. Nope, that's not how it works with the Lord. Hallelujah. In closing, let's go to the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 19. We're going to end up with these verses here. Acts 19. Acts chapter 19. Thank you, Josh. Acts 19. And we're going to start with verse 1. Now, I know it says there's 20 verses we're going to read, but we'll get through them really fast. A little background on here. This is where the Apostle Paul goes to the city of Ephesus. Okay? We're talking about the same exact thing that took place in the Old Covenant, but it's in the New. Now, this is when people were filled with the Holy Ghost, too. And it still happened then. We're going to see what's going on here. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it says, and it happened or came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, or Saul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, well, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Everybody know who John was, right? John the Baptist? Okay. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance. So he said, you did good. But let's go to the next step, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Next verse. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus instead of just in repentance. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they what? Spoke. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. Oh, hallelujah. Now the men were 12 in all. There's 12 of them. And when he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul did. But when some were hardened and did not, what? Did not believe, but spoke evil or dysfunction of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. So basically, he kept those young believers away from the dysfunction. He kept them out. He protected them. Okay? We need to do that to our family members, those who we lead to the Lord. We need to protect them for a while until the Lord says, okay, let them go. Otherwise, they're going to fall. They're going to fall in deception. They're going to fall in dysfunction. They're going to fall in things. So the Apostle Paul gave us an example here. We need to get them under our arm. Okay, and protect them. Let's go next. And this continued for 2 years. 2 years Paul did this, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that Even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, we'll get to that in a second, but catch this now, the picture. Paul's ministering in Asia for 2 years. The whole word gets out that God is working in Asia to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Okay? Paul has some form of clothing, whether it be an apron, a tunic, a tallit. Yeah. What's that? A handkerchief. Anything. Okay? Anything had to be with cloth. He would lay hands on it, and then they would take it home, lay it on a loved one or a family member or a business member or somebody, and that person would get delivered. They'd get healed. Okay? What a witness, right? That's a good thing. This is what God's telling us to do. But then there were some Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves. Everybody say themselves. You all know that things happen wrong when we do things by ourselves. Okay. To call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." They had the audacity to say, "Yeah, I don't have Jesus in my heart, but Paul does, so we're going to cast you out by the Jesus that Paul preaches." That happens today. That happens today. Not as bluntly as this, but yeah, people do things in the name of Jesus. He's not even in it. He's not in it. He's not in it at all. Give me an example, Larry. No, examples will come to you. You'll be able to see by the Holy Spirit, the Lord will tell you that Jesus is in something or he's not. This is where we have to discern. We have to discern. Okay? Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest. So he's going on his reputation or his title or his office who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, they're trying to cast the devil out, and the devil just says, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Now listen to me. We talked about how Moses, God gave Moses and Joshua a song, okay? Then Joshua put a stone there. A song you hear. You speak a song. You sing a song. The stone heard what the people were saying. Let's go to the next step. The demon heard the words that the people were saying. They had no authority to say what they were saying. And the demon says, "I know Jesus. He cast me out of heaven. Because I was an angel once. I chose the wrong side. Now I'm a demon," he says. I want you to read through this, okay? And then he says, "Paul I know, because he cast me as another person a while ago, and I entered into this guy." "But you know what? I hear you, but who are you? Your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have no power over me at all. You have no power over me. None. Zero." And what happened? "Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." Why do you think they fled naked and wounded? Why was it naked? Why did they leave naked? They have no armor. They have no authority. They have no clothes. The Bible says that we are clothed with the righteousness of God. When we enter the house of God, He heals our wounds. He heals our wounds. That's something we can praise God about. That's something we can just say, thank you, Lord. When I come into your presence, I'm not being boastful or braggart or pushy. I just know that you said you would heal my wounds. Yeah. Yep. This became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was what? Magnified, because a demon beat up some people. Yeah. Because they were doing something that was spiritually illegal. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic or the occult brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. Ephesus was a Gentile city, so the occult was pretty prevalent. Okay? They took everything, equivalent to 50,000 pieces of silver back then. Holy moly, that's a lot. Now that's the last verse. But you stop and think about something. God gave the people a choice with Moses. God gave the people a choice with Joshua. And now God's given the people a choice with the Apostle Paul and us. If we are serious about getting revival, relief, the anointing, and there will come a day when it happens, and we will be faced with a decision. Hear me. If we want these things bad enough, the scripture is telling us to remove the high places, remove the false gods, the things of the occult. Whether it's, that's not that bad. No. It is. God will not inhabit with something else that is not of Him. He won't do it. He will pull Himself away. And the people of Ephesus learned, and they said, let's take all our stuff and let's burn it. What a bonfire that was. That was a bonfire. And then next, what we need to do, we need to give up, turn away, and burn the yokes. Let the anointing burn the yoke that keeps us in bondage. What does that mean? Burn the yoke that keeps us in bondage. Whatever is the yoke that keeps us, whatever it is. Whatever that yoke is, whatever it is, we got to do what the Gentiles did in Ephesus and these other people. Just take it and just say, I give it up. I give it up to you, Lord. I don't want it. I want more of you. I don't want that. That is pulling me under. It's pulling me under. I need a closer walk with you. How do we get that closer walk? Just by that. By pleading to the Lord, asking Him, Lord, I can go for relief right now, Lord. Yep, I can do it, and I'll do it. I'll call to the bullpen, Lord. Send your reliever over to me. And who is the reliever? He may send you a scripture. He may send somebody to pray with you. He may say, go ahead. You know what? I told you not to go to that place, but you went anyway. Okay, but I'll still relieve you. As long as our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, He's there. He's our reliever. He will. Everybody say will. He will bless me. He will bless me. He will do it. He will heal me. He will deliver me. He will walk us through the shadow of the valley of death. He will do it. If we don't believe that, oh, dear Lord, then we're back to square one. where there's a witness, there's a rock. And remember, everything you say hears you. Everything. Not just everybody, everything. Everything. Hallelujah.